I just lost a disagreement with my 7-year-old son. If the parenting experts were watching, I would have been hanging my head in shame. It was the 2013 annual Boondall State School Christmas concert. It was a big deal. The note clearly said that all the students in year two were to wear red and green, red and green. My son said he wanted to wear board shorts and a t-shirt, not in the colours of red and green at all. In the end, I just gave up and I let it go. In the words of Elsa, I let it go. But let me tell you, that night, tensions were high. Okay? Trying to get six of us out the door to the Christmas concert was challenging. We hadn't had time to have dinner. Everyone was hungry. And I knew that the later we ran, the less likely you were to get a car park nearby, which means that you were going to have to walk further away and therefore even be later to the Christmas concert. And I just knew that there would be a shortage of chairs. Sure enough, when we arrived, racing in, there were, of course, no chairs available. Families are literally lining the hall in order to be able to see their children. There was chaos everywhere, let me tell you. There'd been chaos in our family, and there was chaos that night at the concert. The crowds were literally huge. There was a buzz in the air and noise like you wouldn't believe. Children running everywhere. There was no decorum whatsoever. And I noticed this and I started to feel annoyed. I was already a little on edge. And I started to feel a bit more annoyed. As the children were presenting all their items, people were just, I felt, disrespectful. Not like me. They were talking while the children's items were on and not controlling their kids. I was a little outraged. Okay? Not only that, talking to a few other parents, I became aware of some kids whose parents couldn't be bothered to come and watch the concert. So they had literally walked themselves, got themselves ready, and come to the concert all by themselves. And my heart broke for them. And I thought to myself, what kind of a parent doesn't come to this child's school Christmas concert just because they couldn't be bothered? Not like me. Getting where I'm coming from? Then I look around and I see this family and they have a severely disabled child in a wheelchair. And my heart breaks for them. And I think to myself, God, I just don't get this. I'm feeling a little edgy tonight. And here is this family. They've just come along to watch their children at this concert. And life is really hard for them. And so I have all these mixed emotions going around in my head. I was sort of churned up inside. I was tense because we'd been running late. There'd been a disagreement. We weren't all on the same page. I was feeling then a bit like I was a better parent than other people, which isn't right because I'm clearly not at times. That's right, just ask my kids. And I'm feeling outraged that some people couldn't be bothered coming, and then I'm feeling this sorrow for this family all at the same time. And I'm thinking, this place is just chaotic. But then I look around and there's this, at the same time as all this chaos, there is this incredible joy in this place. There is laughing, there is singing, there is dancing, there are people having fun, there are people dressed in crazy clothes. Although there perhaps aren't some families together, there are abundantly heaps of families all together at this night. And I feel rebuked. I feel rebuked in myself. And then my son's grade comes out for their performance. Now, something a little crazy seems to happen at times to parents when they see their children up on stage. Or maybe it's just me. It's like you can't wipe this smile off your face when you see them in the second back row, just half of their ear sticking out. You get your camera and you try and shuffle your way. You might elbow a few others out of the way to try and capture it all on video or just camera or whatever. You cannot take your eyes off them. You smile ridiculously. And then when they finish, even if it was terrible, you cheer like they won an Oscar. I may or may not have been one of those parents that night. Because when they came out, the year twos, after I'd had this disagreement with my son, and all the kids are wearing red and green, as was requested, and I couldn't see my son Bailey, I wondered where he was. I thought maybe the teacher had said, "Mate, you're not wearing red and green, you are not going out." Fair. And then they were sang the song, there's a Wiggles song that says, "Santa, wear your shorts." And Bailey had the starring role and came out as Santa, and he was supposed to be wearing a different outfit from everybody else. Here he is, age 7, Santa wearing his shorts. He's in exactly the right clothes as was asked. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this sort of chaotic night, I have this incredible joy. And of course, later I apologized to him because he was right and I was wrong. There was also a guy, and his name was Isaac Watts, and he had a bit of an internal chaos going on for him, okay? Now, he kind of felt that the songs that they were singing at church were really, really boring and lifeless. There was no joy, there was no fun about them, and when people sang them, they looked absolutely miserable. And this is actually a quote that he said about how he observed people. It's written in Old English, but you can kind of get the vibe of this quote. And he would whinge and he would complain to his dad about the songs that they were singing at church. And in the end, his dad said, "Mate, you can complain or you can be the change." And Watts thought about it and he decided to be the change. And he began a whole new era of Christian music. He loved the Psalms and he'd write about what they meant to him. And he wrote an incredible amount of songs that literally kind of transformed worship at the time. And one of the carols, well, songs that he wrote was "Joy to the World." Joy to the World. You know, next year, this song is 300 years old. And we are still singing it, aren't we? I don't think it's going anywhere. Whenever there are still Christmas carols and carols by candlelight. And although this is arguably one of the best carols, because throughout this series, this carol series we've been doing, it somehow turned into a competition. I had nothing to do with it about which preacher got the best carol. And there was been a little bit of argy-bargy about it. But on Christmas Day, I reckon I got the best one. "Joy to the World." But if you have a look at this song, there's really just perhaps a hint of Christmas here. There's no mention of Mary and Joseph and there's no mention of Bethlehem and mangers and wise men and shepherds. Nothing at all. In fact, there's really only one line that refers remotely to Christmas. The rest is from the Psalms that the Gittins family read out to us. There's only one line in the song that refers to Christmas, and this is the most profound line of all. "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Jesus has come to bring joy in the midst of chaos. And you know, at the time when Jesus was born, the whole political scene in Israel was absolutely chaotic. Israel was being ruled remotely by Rome, okay? So you think sort of geographically, for those who are that way inclined, you think where, you know, Italy is and you think where Israel is. They were being ruled remotely. It was very difficult. And the Roman soldiers were governing, and they were harsh people. They really just wanted to push the Jews down. And it was a very, very chaotic political climate. The Jewish people were despairing about their future. They wondered if someone was going to come and rescue them from this terrible tyranny of government that was ruling over them. They'd lost their sense of hope. They were feeling gutted. They just wondered if they'd just been left to their own devices. However, on this Christmas time, Jesus came to bring joy in the midst of chaos. And you know, there is joy when you realize that you can belong. When you can belong. Now, with that passage that was read before, how amazing is it that the angels, when they announced the news that Jesus had arrived, who did they announce it to? Shepherds. Shepherds in a field. Okay, now shepherds back in these days were considered dirty, smelly, unreliable people. In fact, they weren't even allowed to testify in a court of law because they were considered so unreliable. And you think about this is the people who were given the first news about Jesus. How amazing is that? It'd kind of be like, and I'm not casting dispersion here, but perhaps if this was in today's world, going to like the abattoirs and calling out to the abattoir workers, come on guys, this is the good news. Wow. This slight and tiny perhaps detail here of this Christmas story is profound because it shows that actually when it comes to Jesus, anyone can belong to him. Anyone, regardless of male, female, regardless of your nationality, your tribe, your black background, your socioeconomic status, anyone can belong. And the angels actually said, we bring good news of great joy to all the people, not just some, everybody at all. And let's be honest, sometimes we can struggle with belonging. I went to see a movie recently called Bohemian Rhapsody. And if you haven't seen it, quickly go and see it at the movies. It's fantastic. And one of the reasons, perhaps for the group, or the success of the group, perhaps initially, was their appeal, as they described, to the misfits. It actually talks in the movie, Freddie Mercury, there's a scene where he's speaking to his producer, and he says this, "We are four misfits who don't belong together. We're playing for other misfits," because their music style back in the 70s was very experimental. "They're the outcasts right at the back of the room. We're pretty sure they don't belong. We're pretty sure we don't belong, so we belong together." Probably all of us, if we're honest, maybe there's been the odd time we've felt like someone in the group Queen, that we don't quite belong. Well, guess what? This Christmas, Jesus came to bring joy in the midst of chaos, and that joy that you can belong. There's also joy when you realize you can be saved. Joy when you realize you can be saved. Now, the angels, they also told these shepherds that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord. Now, you remember this political time. These Jewish people, they were desperate. They were under tyrannical rule. And all of a sudden, they hear this amazing news that a Savior had been born, someone that could rescue them and take them out of the terrible climate that they were in. I don't know if you've ever had a time when you've needed to be rescued. A couple of years ago, we were on our annual church holiday at Boonduma, which we do every September. And my friend Jenny and I, we were in a blow-up kind of square lounge. It was quite relaxing, actually. And we sort of sitting out in the middle of the lake, just enjoying having a chat with a few others. And all of a sudden, the wind picked up. And before we knew it, we'd literally gone hundreds of meters away, and there was no way we could get back. We were literally, you know, needed rescuing. And we were laughing and wondering what on earth we were going to do. And out of all of a sudden, over on the hill, we see our friend Jay emerge. And Jay became like our savior. And he orchestrated us to be rescued in that moment. But let me tell you, Jesus doesn't save us from one chaotic moment or one incident of needing rescue. Jesus is able to save us and rescue us from everything, from all time. It's not just a one-off deal. Jesus brings joy when you realize that he can save you. And there's joy when you realize that you also can be restored. You know, these shepherds, when they heard this news, they were fearful. They were frightened. They wondered what on earth was going on. All of a sudden, these angels appear. How random is that? But very quickly, their joy was replaced. Their fear was replaced with joy. In fact, in verse 20, it goes on to say that they were glorifying and praising God. And this is exactly what Jesus does. He comes to restore. He comes to take what has been broken and what needs fixing and healing, and he restores it with joy and newness. In fact, the Bible tells us that he turns sorrow into joy. He turns mourning into dancing. He turns despair into hope. He brings freedom to the captives. He rebuilds what has been destroyed. And he lifts up all who are bowed down and gives them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Jesus takes whatever has been destroyed and restores it with joy. This would have been awesome news for the shepherds to hear, for their people and the Jews. They needed restoration and they were hopeful about the future. Now, I don't know what level of chaos your life might be in right now. Maybe just the day-to-day feels quite chaotic for you. I used to think, particularly when my four children were younger, I used to think someone must be filming us all the time and making a reality TV show of this because it feels chaotic sometimes. Maybe you're at a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of chaos. Great for you. Maybe you're in an 8. Maybe you're just pushing a 13 out the door there. Because if we're honest, all of us have this element of chaos in our lives in one form or another. Family breakdown, financial constraints, despair, hopelessness, arguments, uncertainty about the future. And these bring levels of chaos to our lives. But Jesus has come to bring joy in the midst of chaos. There is joy in the world because the Lord has come. And let earth receive her King. Joy is found when you realize that Jesus has come into the world. And because of that, you can belong, you can be saved, and you can be restored. I have 3 challenges for you to take one up today as you leave this place. First of all, if you're in a really chaotic season or period of your life, ask God to show you the joy. Somewhere there is joy in the chaos. So pray and ask him to show it to you. It will always be there because it's what Jesus came to bring. Secondly, another challenge. Make a decision today that you will be a joy bringer in life. That if there's a situation at hand, you're going to bring the joy. You're going to be someone who is known by the joy of the Lord. Not a negative person, not someone that's critical, but a joy bringer. This is Christmas Day. Many of us are going to meet with family and friends. Be the joy bringer to whatever situation you're in today. It's a mark of his followers. And the third challenge that you might like to accept is, if you don't know really much about this Jesus guy, make it a goal for 2019 to be the year that you decide to find out more about this Jesus dude. and explore this idea of the joy that he can bring to your life. Make it a goal to come along to church and be in an environment or a place where you can learn about him. But my ultimate prayer today is that collectively each of you will have this incredible experience of this joy, this permanent, magnificent, everlasting, unspeakable joy. God bless you each. Let me pray. Well, there is joy in the world today because the Lord has come. And we are so grateful, Jesus, that you did come into the world all those years ago. And I pray for all my friends in this room that you would fill each of us with this joy, God, that it will just be bubbling over us, over from us. As that song says, an overwhelming, overflowing well, no tongue can tell. So God, I pray that that would be our experience today, that we would be joy bringers, that whatever situation we're in, that we would bring your spirit of joy to that. God, that we would have this sense that we belong in you, and that would bring us great joy, and that we could be saved because of what you have done, Jesus. And Lord, if there are people here, God, who wish to experience you more, I pray that they would open their hearts and their minds up to learn more about you and the joy you can bring to their lives. And that song has the line, for every heart, prepare him room. And I pray that throughout this day, God, that each of us would find place in our heart and prepare it, God, for you to be part of who we are. Well, thank you for this great joy, and may we live that out today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.